Welcome back, and thank you for joining us once again for Behind the Sermon. I'm Scott.
And I'm Russell.
And today we get to talk about, drumroll please.
Morning.
Morning.
Yay.
Yeah. Now that's that's not actually the sunrise, you know, put your feet in the ground, slap your hands together type of morning. We're talking about M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Mm. Sadness, grieving. You know, I had a sermon yesterday called just that, Blessed Are Those Who Mourn. We're in our Blessed Life series, and this is our conversation.
Mm-hmm.
It's a tough topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not one we like to talk about a whole lot. We don't really even like to think about it. So
we don't, but I think it's very needed. And
oh, yeah.
I've heard from several people after the sermon that it was very timely and appropriate. So this is our conversation. We wanted to go just a little bit deeper into what this means, this idea of mourning,
mm-hmm.
and if those people are really blessed or not. Mm. So from the conversation yesterday, what things did you take away from that?
You know, I think I took away first that we have to be able to allow people to mourn, allow ourselves to mourn, whatever loss that may be, physical, spiritual. But that it's a necessary part of life, you know. But I also think that as a church, we have to make, there's that space. We got to make space for people to mourn and be okay with that. People to have loss and understand that happens. And then also be able to walk into that space as well for us not to be uncomfortable with it.
Right. And honestly, mourning is very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, who has not walked into a funeral home and immediately just felt completely out of place?
Oh, well, yeah, right? All the time. Mm-hmm.
I guess if you felt at home at a funeral home, that would be...
It's kind of creepy.
That would be a little creepy.
Yeah.
But I think it stems from the fact that, and some may disagree, but in my opinion, death is not the natural way. It wasn't what God had intended.
No, I mean, I think we see that from Genesis 1.
Yeah, and death is very unnatural. In the natural order of things. It is. And so anytime something that is death occurs, it is jarring. It is difficult to handle. It is something we tend to run away from.
Mm-hmm.
And in this process of mourning and trying to struggle through that type of a thing, I think that we find ourselves almost in this sense of being lost in what to do next.
Yeah. You know, I think you're exactly right. I mean, we don't know what to say. We don't know how to react. I think it's what you said yesterday. So we react and we say things that we just shouldn't say or do.
So you do some chaplain work.
Mm-hmm.
And we've both been in ministry for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've seen what it's like whenever people have to encounter death.
Yep.
Now, I'm not going to say that those who mourn, you're not always just mourning death.
No, I think you put it right. It's loss.
It's
whatever loss looks like, you know. So
really, you know, mourning in a lot of ways is about losing either your hope.
Mm-hmm.
It could be losing, if it is a death, it's losing everything that you could have had through that life. Right?
I mean, I think yeah, but whether it's physical, like we said, physical, spiritual. You know, emotional, but the hard thing about mourning is mourning is a physical thing. It's guttural and it's real and it's loud and uncomfortable and difficult. Whatever that is, whether it's, you know, your child who lost their favorite toy, we can. Probably all us parents can understand that the kid's kind of deep sense of loss and crying. And it's even uncomfortable for us because what do we try to do? We either go try to get them something else to feel that loss, or we tell them to quit crying, suck it up, you know? I mean,
well, so that's funny because it's true. Because if our kid loses something and we say, oh, well, we'll get you a new one, are we training them to think that to mourn is to just replace?
Yeah, or it's just not natural. Like it just becomes not a natural thing. And so, you know, we talk about like loss of loved ones or other things like that. And what do we try to do? We try to rationalize it with a saying, with a platitude. You know, try to make the person feel better. When really in that moment of mourning, they don't need to feel better. They can't feel better.
So what are some of the things that you've heard? some of those statements that people make. Because,
well, I mean, you mentioned a lot of them yesterday, you know?
Yeah, because we talk about how people try to comfort, and they usually do it with words.
Right.
And yeah, a lot of times these words are not very comforting.
No.
So what are
no.
some things that you've heard?
Oh, you know, I mean, God must have wanted him more than you, you know?
Yeah.
It was time for him to go home, which I think
one more angel in heaven now.
Yeah,
maybe.
You know, it's time for him to go home, or just the basic, and understand, but, you know, I understand what you're going through, yeah, you know? No, you don't. Not at that time. So it, we try to fill that space with words, because we think by doing that we get rid of the uncomfortableness of the tears and the wailing. But I think all we really need to do is just fill the space with our presence.
So there's, if you can think of, I don't know, visually, if you can think of two boxes, mm-hmm, one box on the left has got mourning in it. Mm-hmm. This is all the sadness and grief and something you must bear.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a box on the right, and that is comfort. Mm-hmm. And that is that space that we get to when we feel not necessarily better about everything, but we feel the process begins to, it's more of a healing process, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's space in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So from our conversation yesterday, we talked about how a lot of times people, we just try to go ahead and take that comfort box and we just put it on top of the mourning box and just say, hey, let's just do this. Let's do it quick. It's going to be okay. Get back out there.
Mm-hmm.
Or people stand in between and try to drag this mourning box forward. They don't let people have enough time to really mourn.
Yeah.
So I like what you say about filling that space, not with words or platitudes, but with your presence.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking to somebody last week about this idea, and, you know, and it was interesting as I'm talking to this person, I'm giving them this idea.
Mm-hmm.
And to say, you know, people, they don't really want to hear our words. And this person said, yeah, we really just want to know that we're not alone.
I think that's really big. They just don't want to be there by themselves. I mean, yeah, because I mean, in that moment of loss, it's defeating and it's terrible. And again, and we use our tears to kind of symbolize that. And I think people more than anything else just need to have others who will sit across the room from them, who will put their hand on their shoulder, who will have it be a shoulder to cry on, and even will well with them and shed tears with them. And I think that's how we do it the best. And, you know, you look at it, and prior to Jesus coming, there was mourning of a people for a loss of land and a loss of
identity.
But yet, you know, God didn't come and make it all right in the way they're thinking. What did he do? He came into the space of mourning and hurt and loss and felt the hurt, felt the suffering, took on the loss. And in so doing, I think we find that the comfort in that space that Jesus filled, which is what we're called to do, to be that same type person, to fill that space, not drag the person over, just fill the space. And I think that's where comfort happens.
So you've endured a lot of scenarios in your chaplain work where people have passed away.
Yeah.
What kind of mourning have you seen in those hospital rooms?
You know, we've seen everything from, you know, you see everything from sudden loss, you know, someone's wife, someone's husband, healthy one minute, gone the next, and just uncontrollable sobbing and wailing. And we've seen where people just want to question God.
You've seen anger, I'm sure.
Absolutely. And I mean, that, and in all those moments, I think what I've come to realize is there's nothing I can do or say that's going to make that family or that individual feel better. You know, there's no platitude I'm going to tell them about not being angry with God because their loved one's gone.
Right.
You know, I mean, there's nothing. And it's incredibly uncomfortable to stand with someone and let them just wail on God for doing it. But I don't think we need to have the answer. I think all that person needs is someone to stand in that place with them and acknowledge in some way it's okay to do this. It's okay to let loose. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to cry and wail at the top of your lungs. And I'm going to stand right here with you. And I think that's what I've learned as a chaplain. I don't say a lot of words anymore.
Yeah.
It's not necessary. But to be there, because the amazing thing is when I've seen other people do it as well, just how people just say thank you. And you look back and say, there's nothing I did. And you realize, yeah.
You've such a big help to me. What did I do?
Yeah. And it's just, it's kind of cool to see nurses do it. Doctors do it. You know, ordinary people, orderlies do it. Phlebotomists, not just willing to just sit there, just put a hand on a person and say, I'm so sorry. And,
you know, the one thing that I think is that we've said before, and we've been to hospital visits together, mm-hmm. and seen people. And the one thing I hear people say is, can you imagine what would happen if this person did not have a community like we do who goes through this?
Yeah.
And then I say, you know, that happens all the time.
Yeah.
And so I've even heard it to where we say that in a, I'm not going to say condescending way, but kind of a poor them, man, lucky us.
Yeah.
And so I'm wondering, as followers of Jesus, you know, how do we comfort people in everyday life? You know, how can we focus on being comforting to others? If that's our job, is to bring the kingdom of heaven on earth, right?
We become attentive. We become attentive to the world around us, not trying to block it out, not trying to get past a conversation because we don't want to be in it or be awkward because we don't know the person. Instead, we become attentive to the person in front of us at that moment, whether it's the person checking us out in a grocery store or giving us our food or any of those things, our teacher at school, of our kids. We become attentive to the person in front of us. And I think if we can start doing that better, then it becomes, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted, instead of those with the church community that I've always said, well, of course, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And with the person who's by themselves, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted? With the little question mark, because we don't know. Instead, if we become people who are attentive to the space around us and realize we share this place with other people, then we bring heaven to earth by just doing that.
Yeah.
And I think that's... And it's hard, and it's difficult, and it's really messy. I think that's why we don't like mourning. It's just messy.
One thing Jesus is doing with this entire beatitude start to this sermon is he's turning this orderly social structure that we've created upside down.
Yep.
And he's focusing on those people who are the least of these to say, you know, these people are the important ones. Mm-hmm. And instead of looking at somebody whose husband is now in prison because he just didn't have self-control or just a bad person, you know, now you have two kids at home who don't have a dad. These kids mourn the fact that they have no real life like everyone else. How can we comfort these people? You know, to me, it's almost like whenever you encounter a Christian, you should immediately be sensing this comforting, calming, non-anxious presence. Someone who, you know, mm-hmm. but that's not really what happens.
No.
So we have our work cut out for us, I think.
Yeah.
And you know, if you're listening here, you know, I think wherever you are, if you're whatever church, family, or community of faith you're in, I think if we cannot comfort each other, then there's going to be no way we can comfort the world. Those people who really need us.
Right. But all I can say is that if we're not willing to have the space for people to mourn, though, either. I mean, we should comfort. But if we're not even willing to have the space for people to be honest about themselves and mourn their loss without saying, I think you said it yesterday, of like, suck it up or be a man about this. And instead, or pick yourself mm-hmm. up by your bootstraps. Like, while we need to be a place of comforts, we need to be a place that allows mourning to happen. Allows people to be honest with themselves and can visually mourn in front of the community, knowing that there will be comfort supplied, but also that there won't be judgment based on the fact that I'm I can't bear it anymore. I can't hold it in. I have to be able to mourn this.
Yeah, we have to be able to give people space and the ability to express themselves fully and work through that.
I think you talked yesterday. I mean, they're both really difficult things. Yeah. We don't want to mourn because it looks weak.
Mm-hmm.
But we also don't know how to comfort.
That's right.
Well,
exciting conversation.
I think it's a necessary one.
It is a necessary conversation, and I think that there's probably more to say, but we're out of time. So I'm going to say, if you have any questions or comments, go ahead and send them to Scott at grapevinechurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next week.